project. It's a crisis intervention service. The money was to develop skills in avoiding sexual abuse to children, parents, teachers, school administrators, and the community. In cooperation with the 6 existing school districts in Jackson County, community churches, church groups, PTAs, civic groups, and through newspaper articles, radio, and television presentations, the program will seek to educate a minimum of 10,000 county residents on child sexual abuse prevention. Another program which received money was a Young Mothers Child Abuse Prevention Program at Emanuel Hospital in Portland. This was a research program. It studied the problem of infants who are born addicted to drugs like alcohol, cocaine, heroin, methadone, PCP, and marijuana. These infants have also been exposed to the damaging effects of these drugs in utero. Emanuel Hospital's program will study the incidence of drug use in pregnancy and addiction. They will follow these infants to assess the consequences of prenatal addiction upon their growth, development, and family dynamics. They will attempt to intervene early to prevent the harmful effects of exposure to drugs and drug environment by linking families with community agencies such as the Exchange Club, community health nurse, and drug treatment programs. It'll provide prenatal, birth stay, and postpartum services for 15 young mothers. That was a grant of $24,000. They're doing an awful lot with very little money. Most of these grants are in the area of about $15,000 to $20,000, $22,000, $23,000. And they are for the community-based efforts to prevent child abuse. If it does cost the state a little bit to put the checkoff on the tax return, it certainly is worth it. If we have to spend $4,000 to make possible private contributions of perhaps $300,000, totally voluntarily, to go to community-based services, to help people who are already donating their time and effort at the community level, then it's well worth it. I think this is one of the best bargains we could get through this session in terms of reward for the effort expended at the state level. I urge strongly that we put this bill through. I know in the Senate, we look forward to helping it through on that side, and also hope to encourage you here to pass it.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions for the Senator? If not, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we do have some people coming in later who are working on the fund.
Yes. Good. Whole bunch of folks here signed up. I'm going to start calling the witnesses. Now, as I go through the list here, everybody seems to be for it. So what I would ask the witnesses to do is not cover territory that we've already dealt with as we go through the list, but to add whatever you believe is of importance that is new to the committee so they can make an informed decision. I'd like to call Pat Kessinger, and she's with the Junior League of Eugene, the OSPAC. Pat, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Tricia Kessinger, the Public Policy Chairman of the Junior League of Eugene. With me is Liz Denneke from the Junior League of Portland. The Children's Trust Fund legislation has been a focus for both the Junior League of Eugene and the Junior League of Portland for a total of 3 sessions now. We've been working through OSPAC, our lobbying arm basically, trying to get some way of funding the kinds of projects that our league members have given our volunteer hours for. The 2,000 women in both cities which we represent firmly believe that preventing child abuse should be a major priority for you and every other adult in the state. It is not adequate or effective in terms of people's lives or in terms of money to wait for abuse to occur and then to apply Band-Aids to its results. Unfortunately, that is all we have given Children's Services Division the funds to do, apply Band-Aids after children have been abused. A variety of nonprofit and a few government agencies, however, have been trying to prevent child abuse, to break the vicious cycle in which an abused child grows up and becomes an abuser himself. Several of these projects, like the Lane County Relief Nursery and what is now the Boys and Girls Aid Society's Teen Parent Project in Lane and Douglas County, had their beginnings as Junior League projects. Funding for these programs is generally precarious. Often those with the talent, interest, training to treat and educate are forced to divert large portions of their attention to fundraising activities instead of being able to concentrate on helping the children in need. The Children's Trust Fund is a sensible, if partial, solution, a united way, if you will, for agencies dedicated to the prevention of child abuse. However, the $300,000 initial appropriation has already been completely dispersed. Donations and sales of the personalized birth certificates have not generated as much revenue as hoped for or needed. House Bill 2503 is designed to improve the funding mechanism of the original Children's Trust Fund bill. The 2,000 women of the Junior Leagues of Portland and Eugene strongly urge your support of the bill. We recognize the concerns that Representative Agrons and others have raised about the increased number of check-ons or check-offs on the tax form, but encourage you to look at all of these proposals and put them in numerical order as far as what you think has the most impact on the state. Numbered in the order of importance, we firmly believe the Children's Trust Fund is the most important one that you will see. Currently, we have the two checkoffs, one for supporting the arts, another for endangered wildlife. I believe that children are the most important artistic creation most of us will ever produce, and their protection is as critical to the quality of life in Oregon as the protection of wildlife. Children are, we have all said, one of Oregon's most valuable resources. Child abuse and neglect are an increasing threat to this resource. Please give the individual taxpayer the push that they need, the encouragement to make that easy little check and share some of their refund money for the Children's Trust Fund and save the children.
Thank you, Pat.
You want? I have nothing else.
Oh, okay. Any questions? Committee members, thank you very much for your support. Robert Bailey. Afternoon, Bob.
Thank you. My name is Robert Bailey. I'm the executive director of the Oregon chapter of the National Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse. That's an organization that's nationwide. Oregon now is one of 38 states that has this process. It may be funded differently, but the Children's Trust Fund is a national trend. Federal Congress has appropriated challenge grant money to states with Children's Trust Funds. Oregon didn't have money in time enough to achieve that earlier match, but it's an ongoing matching grant. So be aware as you contemplate the funding of Oregon's Children's Trust Fund that additional dollars in Oregon's Trust Fund generates federal match to that. I would also say, looking across the room at you representatives from different districts, I am aware of organizations within nearly each of your districts that has concern for prevention of child abuse and is, in a sense, an entity or an agency that could benefit from this if they haven't already. Representative French in Grant County, there is a Farrell Lemon Memorial Trust, which in a sense is a Grant County Children's Trust Fund that was created by Farrell Lemon's trust. It's overseen by Rob Walker, who sits at the Grant County Sheriff's Office, and he is aware of efforts in that county to forward prevention education. Also, SABRA, the domestic violence program in Grant County, is very active. There are also people in Baker County and other parts of your district that are forming up, creating interagency efforts. They are looking at the trust fund as a possible stimulus to developments in your area. Representative Van Llewellyn in Linn County, there is the Linn Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse that we work with, and I know that they have been aggressive on $0 or on their own fundraising efforts to educate daycare providers, foster home providers, and other parts of the community in abuse prevention concepts. Anybody wants contact with those organizations within their district, I can refer you to them. Representative Carter, I'm familiar with the Committee for Oregon Black Families and Children in Portland, and I've been under some discussion with James Mason about the Children's Trust Fund process and the possibility of their framing up a project that would be specific to that. I know from contacts that I've had in the metropolitan area, I think a grant like that in a service category would be received very favorably. Representative Katulski, there's organizations on either side of you. In Hood River, there's a sexual abuse awareness team that's been doing independent fundraising, has brought prevention education to a lot of people in that district. And also in Multnomah County, there's a lot of aggressive activity. This fund just doesn't benefit, you know, the big urban environment. You can see from some of the previous testimony, that there is outlying communities can access this money, Indian reservations are receiving service, and so forth. Representative Ford, the Virginia Garcia Clinic is in Washington County, and they are a recipient. It's a Hispanic-based prevention project. Representative Gold from Multnomah County, there are Emanuel Hospital, there's some funding that goes into a health department, home health visitor prevention effort there. And Representative Shiprack, there's a newly formed organization in Clackamas County called the Clackamas Coalition for Prevention of Child Abuse. There are people from juvenile department, children's services, the array of serving agencies, but it's also chaired by a representative from the North Clackamas Junior Women's Club. There is a commitment in Clackamas County to assist in the prevention of child abuse there, and they are looking at developing a 501c3 a proposal. They're looking at this trust fund as the kind of stimulus that will take them somewhere. Representative Picard, the Sexual Abuse Task Force in Deschutes County, headed up by Ann Van Dusen, has money from the Oregon Community Foundation. The Children's Trust Fund, I think, would be a very helpful stimulus to your county and to that effort that's been going on for 7 or 8 years. The proclamation that the governor has recently signed and hopefully is gaining steam down in your direction is meant for April, which is Child Abuse Prevention Month. One of the last points on there is supporting the Children's Trust Fund. One of the things that we're asking you as representatives and decision makers today is to empower this. I'm on one of those projects, the last project that was mentioned, this Project KidSafe, and in what we're providing is a statewide resource center system. In Grants Pass, there's a library that lends materials to southwestern Oregon. In Ontario, there's a lending library that provides materials to that part of the state, in LeGrand, in Corvallis, and also in Portland. What we're doing is creating a system for shared resources. We're also going out meeting with community organizations and helping them with their technical assistance on fundraising, how do you match dollars with a possible Children's Trust Fund. And I can tell you from being around the state that this single entity has caught the attention of community organizations. They're gearing up, leadership is coming out of the woodwork, and they're planning and hoping. And I think this, in a sense, small dollars is very good investment, like Senator Hill has said. The community organization is out there, is developing, and is eager for the leadership that you can provide to offer some dollars to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from Mr. Bailey? If not, thank you very much. Art Cummings from the Governor's Commission.
Thank you. My name is Art Cummins, and I'm a private practicing lawyer in Salem, Oregon, and a member of the Governor's Advisory Committee on the Trust Fund. And I, frankly, was very interested to walk down here today and to see how the Trust Fund is perceived by the legislators who enacted it. We have been operational now for a little over a year, and have as you've heard, we've dispersed the money statewide that we were initially given to what we feel are a number of very, very responsible efforts in the prevention area. And attempted to spread the money throughout the state as opposed to benefiting any one area over another. One of the things that interest us when we first got together to consider what our job was and how we were going to go about it was to find out exactly how people viewed the needs around the state in this area. And it was very interesting, and I think you all would find it very interesting, to read the number of the vast number of grant applications that we had as people assess the needs in their community. We're talking about all the way from Burns down to Coos County and Klamath and Jackson County, all the way through the valley up into the Portland area, of how these people saw this problem in their communities. Now, not all of them came up with what we felt were legitimate programs to work at this prevention issue, but They definitely gave us valuable information to indicate that we have a very serious problem, social problem in the state of Oregon that needs some serious work done. I have been involved in prevention activities as well as the representation of abused children in the Valley area for a number of years. I think I can go back to about 1972, and then it gets to be hazy. But a number of studies have been done throughout the Valley, in Linn County and Benton County, Marion, Polk, Yamhill, particularly that I'm familiar with, where they, every year when these cities and counties consider where they're going to put money in the social area, they do their studies and they identify the needs, and invariably over the, at least most of the last 10 years, in the top three, and most of the time the top social need has been child abuse. And the issue is whether or not you're going to put the money into treating these kids as they arise and as they're found out, or whether you're going to try to treat them before they're abused. Basically, teach parents how to raise children, how to discipline children, teach children how to deal with this threat to their very existence. We believe that prevention is the way to go. Hopefully will be the word that we get out of the legislature this year, that prevention is where it's at. I'm reminded when I talk about this to communities, various citizen groups, that the Fram filter commercial, which I'm sure you all know, is so applicable, you know, where you're either going to invest $6 now or $60 later. In this case, where child abuse is concerned, the statistics, particularly with respect to costs, are showing us that it's either $6 now or $600 later, because we just don't have enough institutions, or the taxpayers aren't willing to give us the money to create institutions to take care of these victims of child abuse after they have become abusers. Now, I have handed out or brought to you the article that Representative Hostica talked about, which I thought was very interesting and very timely this weekend, from the Statesman Journal, that child abuse deaths increase. And there's a lot of attention being paid right now to the validity of these statistics. And I submit that there are more than 15 children who died in 1986 in Oregon because of child abuse. But as you can see in the article, this goes along with the national trend, so it's nothing new. It isn't just Oregon, but we have to keep up with the other states as far as projects are concerned to meet this need and deal with this problem. Notice also that this task force of Oregon's agenda for the 1990s, a very recent project, 1986 project in the report. I only took one page out of this vast report, which deals with the issue of prevention versus treatment. And I think that's where Oregon needs to be. I think that's where we are. And we're either going to be here at the legislature a step behind, or we're going to be the leaders in this area. The last thing I would like to mention is I have been asked many times about the birth certificates. And I don't know how many of you purchased yours. I have them for my children who were born in Oregon. Probably there aren't too many here that have purchased birth certificates. They're beautiful, but they also cost a lot of money. And there aren't a lot of people who are going to go out and spend $25, and I understand the cost is going up. Our last meeting indicated that the cost of these things, or the charge that's going to be made by the state, is going to be greater to cover their costs. But by time you pay back the cost of developing that birth certificate, we don't have any money and won't expect any. That's assuming everyone runs out and buys them for years to come. So there is either going to be some type of funding mechanism created, and I find it hard to believe personally that it's going to be general fund allocations every year. I think we need to look at an innovative funding mechanism to bring money into the trust fund so that these prevention programs that we have encouraged, that in some cases we've started, we just don't leave them in the lurch, and that we keep pushing this type of community activity. It's basically taking their money in a checkoff and giving it back to them in a form that will hopefully make their community a better place to live and their children much more healthier human beings. Robin Carmorse is here from our advisory committee. She's the administrator, and she has all the specifics on the programs that we have favored with some money. We've tried to use the money just as carefully as we can, as opposed to dropping a whole bunch of money into one program. We've tried to feed a number of programs that had merit. We rejected an awful lot, and I expect in years to come they will proliferate, and there'll be more and more worthy community projects. And it seems to me the logical way to do it is to take those people's money and give it back to them in a meaningful manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Art. Robin Kerr Morse. I'm going to have to ask the witnesses to abbreviate their testimony because we have two other bills that we want to deal with today, and I'd like to move into work session on this bill after we finish with the testimony. So if you would be so kind as to
hurry
condense.
Up.
Right.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Robin Carmorse. I am the CSD primary prevention specialist. I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 2503. As the primary prevention person in CSD, my job is divided basically into two parts. On the one side, when I'm wearing one hat, I am the parent training person. I supervise the parent training service statewide. And I'm also the 0.5 FTE who is assigned to the Children's Trust Fund. In that role, basically, I provide technical assistance both to the members of the Governor's Advisory Committee on the Prevention of Child Abuse and Neglect and to the 14 programs that we are currently funding. My role has included helping prepare the request for proposal format, generally providing technical assistance, and monitoring the 14 programs. I had several things that I was going to say about programs, but program staff are here to tell you that really better than I can, and I want to hit three or four highlights that haven't been mentioned. First of all, we received requests, that is proposals, requesting money from 42 communities, totaling $900,000. We were able to deal with only 14 of those programs to the tune of $257,000. Programs were chosen by the committee with an eye to geography, which has been mentioned, also with an eye to ethnicity, and very importantly, with an eye to the validity and strength of the program design. We are not operating in isolation in Oregon. We have been keeping a very strong eye on what's been going on nationally, on data and research and methods that we can bring to bear here in Oregon. And my role has been to get some of those ideas to the program staff and also to the committee in making their decisions. The nine of the programs currently funded are programs which support young parents or support first teen parents, drug abusing parents, high risk parents, might be migrant or indigent parents. They are not just teen parents, which has been a common misperception, I think, of these programs. Of those nine programs, we are currently serving 302 clients with just those nine programs. The cost, the average cost per client, typically a mother with a young child, is $600 annually. That cost is kept low by each program's drawing on a large cadre of volunteers, which is inherent in the trust fund concept. All programs submit quarterly reports and annual reports. We currently have received two quarterly reports from all programs. We haven't yet gotten to the place of getting our final report from programs so that we can show you a lot about outcomes. I can tell you that these programs are all delivering program designs that we see working on a national level and being researched on a national level. I have attached copies of the latest quarterly report to written copies of my testimony, and I'm available to answer your questions if I can be of help. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Joe Carney, Department of Vital Statistics.
My name is Joe Carney. I'm State Registrar for Vital Records. And I'm here at the request of Children's Services Division to present the facts concerning the income and expenditures on the heirloom birth certificate. The Health Division does not have a position on this bill itself, but I have, and it's being distributed now, prepared some information concerning the status of the heirloom certificate relative to income and expenditures, and I'd be glad to answer any questions in that area.
Okay, Joe, one quick question. We can purchase these certificates at any time, right? Not only at the time of the birth of the child, right?
That's correct.
Like grandparents can purchase these for grandchildren and that sort of thing?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions for Joe?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Van Loon.
It's just interesting to note that the amount of money brought in is almost the same as the amount that was projected to be used out of the general fund, but I'm not sure that the money that comes in from these, does it go into the general fund? No.
No,
it goes to the trust fund, which is not laundered through the general fund.
I believe that's correct. Yes, it comes in as a fee, just as the birth certificate fee comes in. So it comes into other funds.
Representative Agron.
The part of this doesn't say how much one of these things costs.
The cost is $25.
Okay, one other question. Is this program losing money?
It isn't losing money. If you look at the bottom line there, we'll be at a break-even point either in June or July of this year. The break-even point being brought about by the initial expense of buying brochures and the certificates themselves. All right, so there was an initial capital investment. After that, then the system would actually produce.
Okay, but Joe, at this point, according to this report, as of January, we're $8,500 short at this point. Is that?
That's correct.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Van Loon.
Thinking of these being available, I know because of being in the legislature, I've heard about them. But I don't believe, as a new grandparent and so forth, I've seen the opportunity advertised for me in any way to buy one for a new grandchild.
We have a public service announcement that is being used on the TV stations. But as with public service announcements, it's used when the station can run it. I happen to star in it, so I'm very happy with the announcement.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
All right.
Ron Schmidt, Oregon Arts Commission.
Oh, yeah. Afternoon. Well, I'm here this afternoon to offer my absolute full support for adding the Children's Trust Fund as a tax checkoff beneficiary. I've long been a strong advocate for the arts, and I currently serve as the chairman of the Oregon Arts Commission. And I'm very keenly aware of the significant support the tax checkoff opportunity has meant to funding the arts in this state. Oregon was the first state to have an arts checkoff. The legislation was passed in 1981. And since then, the program has raised approximately $650,000 for arts development. Last year, we had our highest contribution figure, and that was $163,000. Other states have legislated a tax checkoff since 1981. Alabama, Louisiana, Rhode Island. Alabama and Louisiana last year each raised approximately $30,000. Rhode Island took effect last spring and they raised $16,000. I see absolutely no conflict in offering taxpayers an opportunity and a very convenient way to support the arts and child abuse prevention programs. In my view, Oregonians tend to be very concerned people on many issues of importance. And if the opportunity exists to financially contribute they will take advantage of and appreciate the opportunity to participate in a program of this type. The Oregon Arts Commission would welcome the Children's Trust Fund as another beneficiary of tax checkoff funds. We don't view the Children's Trust Fund as competition. And in fact, we will provide full access to our files on the tax checkoff program. I will provide our marketing director to the Children's Tax Fund to assist in setting up the procedures, some of the problems that we've faced. In addition, my advertising agency for the first 2 years will volunteer its services at no cost to the Children's Tax Trust Fund to help get it started.
Thank you, Ron. Any questions for Ron? Representative Van Loon.
One quick question. The tax checkoff for the arts, would it operate the same? It's not only just for, it isn't limited to the refund, is it? Mm. Is it limited
yes.
to the refund?
Yes, it
the
is.
Same as this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other questions,
yes.
Ron? Representative Friend.
You say that you do not see this as a competition for the arts. Would you, if there were other checkoffs came up, would you see them as possible competition eventually? If we say we.
I see the Wildlife Fund as competition to us. And we, you know, we are marketing at this point in competition with the.